I was wanting to talk a little bit about two of the people you're best known for working with back then. That's Kerouac and Burroughs.
Yeah.
What was your relationship with Kerouac like?
Well, he was very tender and very smart, but smarter than me and a little bit older. And I was kind of a naive college boy and thought I wanted to be a labor lawyer. But he pointed out to me that I'd never had a job in my life and I didn't know anything about factories and labor. And it was just some sort of adolescent pipe dream. But I was interesting as a poet because I was so curious-minded and I should actually write down my thoughts as they were without trying to make them look good by rhyme. Mm-hmm. Also, he was not gay, he was straight, but I was gay, and I was in love with him, and he let me sleep with him a few times. Just, I guess, kindness. This sort of, macho gentility. And Burroughs was a mentor to both of us. We met him very early. I met Burroughs and Kerouac when I was 17, so I had a very good education. And Kerouac and I went to visit Burroughs, as described in the movie that was shown here, Life and Times of Allen Ginsberg.
Right.
But what he did was something amazing. He gave us a bunch of books to read. He gave us Spengler's book, Oswald Spengler's Decline of the West. He gave me a copy of Blake. He gave us a copy of Kafka's Castle, or Trial, I've forgotten which. He gave Cocteau's Opium, Saint-Jean Peirce's great prose poem, Anabasis, Rambo, I think I mentioned, and suggested other reading. And they were not things that were being taught at Columbia University when I was there. As well as, Louis Ferdinand Céline, a great French writer, Journey to the End of the Night. So he really sort of improved our education. And he was very funny and very, very good at quoting Shakespeare. I remember a friend of mine and I were arguing over what is art. Was art social or was it solipsistic? In other words, if you carved a walking stick, is that art? And if you put the walking stick on the moon and nobody saw it, is that art? Or does art have to be seen and social? So we took the argument to Burroughs. And he quoted Shakespeare and said, "'Tis too starved an argument for my sword." And then he went on to say, art is a three-letter word, whichever way you want to define it. First, you agree on the definition, but it doesn't have an inherent definition in the three-letter word. It's how do you want to agree to use it? So he had studied the basic idea of semantics with the inventor of this theory of semantics, Alfred Korshevsky. Semantics meaning that the word is not the thing it represents. It's a word, and the thing it represents is... the word is a label for something, but it doesn't replace... the word microphone doesn't replace the microphone. You can't talk into the word microphone and have it reproduced. You can talk into this physical metal microphone, yes. So the microphone is a label. People get into arguing over what is art, or what is God, or what is Christ, or what is the Bible, or what is moral, or what is family values, that have no inherent definition unless you want to agree how you want to define them.
Yeah, and one note on Burroughs, I just found out that he's going to be recording an entire reading, or at least I think it's abridged, but about 6 hours or so of Naked Lunch.
Right, yes, he's already done that. He's already begun that.
And that's, I think, supposed to be released around January or so.
Probably not likely, because Burroughs has done several albums, Dead City Radio, and the thing he did with Kurt Cobain. Mm-hmm. What was that called? The Priest, they called him? Yeah, The Priest, they called him. And then another one with Sonic Youth participating called Spare Ass Annie. Mm-hmm. Then Hal Wilner, who was the producer, began recording, as well as producing my recordings, went to Lawrence, Kansas, and recorded Burroughs. And then they sent it to Warner Brothers for editing. And Warner edited it in such a way as they took out sentences from paragraphs. And, just with a meat axe, they didn't know what they were doing. Illiterate. So that never will come out that way. Burroughs wouldn't agree to that. So the whole thing is too long, 18 hours.
Yeah.
But they should really record the whole thing and then take sections. Simple as that. Yeah. This is Burroughs' latest book here I have. This is the bound copy, Advance on Corrected Proofs, bound, of his latest book, My Education, a book of dreams. His all his dreams from 1980 on.
I haven't seen that one yet.
No, these are just the advanced proofs.
Oh, okay. What do you think of it so far?
Oh, it's good reading. I'm about halfway through. I read it in manuscript at his house, some of it, the beginning of it, and I got interested, so they sent me the advanced proofs to make some sort of a comment.
Yeah.
He's always interesting, no matter what he does.
That's true.
Have you read any Burroughs?
Yeah, I have.
What?
I've read The Naked Lunch, so
yeah.
I haven't read much beyond that. I've
heard is that any good, Naked Lunch?
Boy, that's a complicated book.
Is it interesting?
I think it is, yeah.
Does it have any political suggestion in it?
I think it has some in there.
Yeah, it's anti-police state, how to deal with police state. That can't be broadcast on the air.
That's right.
Anti-police state art can't. Burroughs's specific anti-police state ideas cannot be put on the radio. Mm-hmm. But because the police state has taken over the radio. Police state meaning whoever, the state controlling what people can hear, controlling the propaganda, controlling the airwaves. And that is put in by the very people who say, get the government off our backs. It's contradiction. But the very people who say, get, you know, like, stop spending, you know, and cut taxes, Reagan and Bush escalated the national debt and spending beyond anything the Democrats ever thought of. You know, when Carter left, the national debt was, I don't know what, half a trillion or something. It's now 4 trillion. Through the Reagan and Bush eras. And they were the ones who were talking about budget limits, but they bankrupted the United States, borrowing from future generations to expand the military so that we have this military-industrial state where the military is out of control and not very efficient anyway.
Both Burroughs and Kerouac definitely during their times had substance abuse problems.
Burroughs, yes, he always had that. And though he's now in a legal state. And Kerouac had alcohol as a problem. That's substance abuse.
Pretty much drank himself to death, as I understand it.
I think so, yes. Well, it was a cause of his death, alcoholism. The very interesting statistics are that illegal drugs, illicit drugs, cause the deaths of 20 to 30,000 people in America every year. It's cocaine, crack, and overstrong heroin, maybe amphetamine, psychosis. That's 20 to 30,000. That's a lot of people. Alcohol is responsible for 100,000 deaths. And cigarettes are a contributory cause to 430,000 deaths. So those are the problems of substance abuse. Kerouac smoked and drank, primarily.
The filmmaker...
When he was in best state, when he smoked a little grass, that was no threat.
Well, the man who made your film, when he was speaking after showing yesterday morning, he mentioned that while so many other people became addicted and had so many problems with drugs, you seemed to, while you did the same drugs that everyone else was doing, you didn't really become addicted or never really seemed to become quite the problem for you.
No, never was.
I'm
a workaholic instead. But it's not just me. You know, there are a lot of, most of the beat poets are alive. If we have a better, what do you call it, mortality rate than insurance people or square poets. Gary Snyder is now in very good health and one of the leaders of the ecology movement and poetry and Buddhism. Philip Whalen is a Zen teacher, abbot of the Hartford Street Zen Center, San Francisco. Michael McClure, as I mentioned, was traveling with Ray Manzarek. Diane DePrima, I just put out a very great collected poems called Pieces of a Song from City Lights. Ed Sanders of the Fugs just came back from a tour of Europe and for several years was serving as water commissioner in Woodstock, cleaning up the water supply, trying to fight the mafia who are trying to dump waste products near the water supply. Peter Orlovsky is alive and kicking and has had a substance abuse problem but has recovered. Has a book out called Clean Asshole Poems and Smiling Vegetable Songs. from Northern Lights Press, Orono, Maine. So the people associated with us, like Robert Creeley, he and I last week spent 3 days teaching together at the University of Pennsylvania. So actually, and Gregory Corso was in New York City, writing as ever. So actually, the survivors are the majority. When you compare it to the academic poets like John Berryman, Delmore Schwartz, Randall Jarrell, they perished by alcohol for the most part and came to tragic ends in a way. Compared to those of us who smoked a little grass and never got addicted to alcohol,